everyone assumed that it was just Rotherham, just Rochdale, rather than a sort of national crisis taking place in most towns and cities. But since Elon Musk and some of the people writing at the Free Press made it an international issue, and then some of the court documents were circulating on X, now it's become existential. Now it means that multiculturalism as such is refuted. Because if you have multiculturalism, you also have this phenomenon.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Jolly Heretic. I am in Christchurch Meadow in Oxford, and I am with a chap called Ed McLaren, who is a PhD student here, and a novelist, and he's the writer of the very interesting book, Bodleford's Gone, which is the first fictional treatment of England's rape gang crisis. The rape gangs are the background to the various fascinating cultural points that are explored in this novel. As I understand it, it was briefly banned, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. Not only on UK Amazon, but on US Amazon as well. And what we seem to think happened was there was some kind of, you know, algorithm that activated as soon as it heard the word grooming. And then it was immediately stamped out. A number of friends who were academics wanted the book, tried to order it, and even then, they haven't had it delivered to them, or the delivering process has been frustrated by some mechanism or other up until about the last week or so.
Because my Finland book, which you got, had the words raped and groomed in the title.
Yeah.
And that didn't...
I think they're very nervous, when I say they, I mean both the security forces and the state, about that issue right now, because it was, if you will, contained for about 10 years after the Alexis J report in 2014. Everyone assumed that it was just Rotherham, just Rochdale, rather than a sort of national crisis taking place in most towns and cities and so on. But since Kaufman and Elon Musk and some of the people writing at the Free Press made it an international issue, and then some of the documents, the court documents, were circulating on X, now it's become existential. Now it means that multiculturalism as such is refuted. Because if you have multiculturalism, you also have this phenomenon. It's not native to English or British or European culture, by extension.
Okay, and so can you tell us a bit about the the summary of the book on in the blurb focuses on the rape gag issue and so forth, and multiculturalism. But as I understand it, there's a lot more to it than that. It's that background against various pathologies in English national life. So it's more about what the book explores.
Yeah. There's a succinct historical preface that goes over the history of immigration into Britain. But really, what inspired the book was this essay by the Substack writer Morgoth's Review, which is called Are Multicultural React to Five? And it compares Chernobyl to the grooming gangs crisis. Because in order for Chernobyl to happen, and in order for the grooming gangs crisis to occur at all, society had to mess up at every level. So in the book, the main character is a sort of lower middle class boy who works out that one of his classmates is being groomed in the 21st century. This, of course, happens more now than ever because the demography is so much worse. Even Jess Phillips, who has worked to dismiss this issue, and of course dismiss Rupert Lowe's ongoing rape gang inquiry, reports regularly on child grooming, gang group sexual assault, and there is a grooming gang's task force underneath her that she has discussed in select committees with Katie Lamb. But the main character wants to save this girl and then works out not only can't he mention the issue, not only doesn't he have the language to articulate the issue because he hasn't been taught it in school, not only is he stripped of his masculinity and
in school and
taught all sorts of poems by people like Louise Bennett Coverley, which I was. The poem is Colonization in Reverse. It's something like, what a joyful news, Miss Matty. My heart's so full, it gwine bursts. Jamaica people colonising England in reverse, and so on and so forth.
It's okay if they call it reverse colonisation, not if we do.
Very much so. Of course, it's never happening, and it's never happened. So I probably wouldn't worry about it. But then when he goes to the police, they're infiltrated by sort of anti-racist activist types, you know, the people that like to put you down in the hate report or whatever it's called. And then when he goes to the hospitals or the abortion clinic, as he eventually does, no one asks any questions. The place is staffed by narcissists who don't care about the issue at all. And eventually, Jack realises, unless he does something personally, potentially beyond the law, then nothing's going to change. And that kind of breaking point is where I think a lot of English people are at the moment, especially my associates with young children themselves, who have to live around, say, an area like Cowley, which is almost the capital of grooming gang crimes in Oxford, because they haven't got the salaries yet.
Right, and so this is interesting, this idea that, a bit like in South Africa, I suppose, where at some point you understand, you're always brought up in a, I was brought up in a world of law and order, and the policeman will tell you the truth, ask the policeman directions, things like this. Mm. And when you realise it's changed, it's much more like you're in Eastern Europe or something under communism, and it's a corrupt system, and there is no law and order, or the law and order is unfair, and is balanced, then there's much more of a likelihood you said you just give up and take it into your own hands.
Exactly.
And perhaps even there isn't the structural integrity anymore to be able to even stop you from doing so.
Yeah, there aren't the bribes in place anymore. And what seems to be happening, although this is a slightly different issue, is there is a preference cascade with upper middle class people at academic institutions, like, say, my friend Harrison Pitt, who would typically, say, in the 80s or the 90s, have a nice academic job lined up for them, and maybe a career in finance or something like that. But because of the DEIfication of the workplace, you know, those bribes are no longer there. They have no incentive to buy into the system.
That's interesting. You call them bribes.
Yeah,
that's a good point. The idea is that we give you a reason to suppress your what you notice.
Yeah,
we give you you have ethnocentric instincts, or yes, you you like democracy, or yes, you like all the things that are being dismantled.
Yeah,
but you have a reason to shut up about it because you've got the bribe of a job. And if you've got this overpromotion of elites that Russian chap, Peter Turkin, has talked about, then the state just can't bribe you. And also, even if it could, then if you said certain opinions, then you'd be sacked anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, a point that's worth bringing up a bit more is the sociology of the grooming gangs thing as such. What actually are the grooming gangs? Where does it come from? In the context of Oxford itself, there is a fascinating book that was updated in 2000 called Kinship and Continuity, British Pakistanis Living in Oxford in the 1980s. And this was done by Professor Alison Shaw, who is still a professor of anthropology at this university. And what she talks about are these structures that are called biraderi, I think, or brotherhoods. In the structure, in the Pakistani state, the state is not regarded as a neutral or objective actor in the same way, idealistically, we used to think about the British state. It's actually a system of kinship networks where you have your brother or your guy who works as a go-between between various factions and so on and so forth. And if you are not part of a biradari, it's usually because you've done something very bad to your father, or you've changed the arranged marriage, so you're selected out, basically. And everyone who doesn't have one is trash, in essence. So what happens when you bring in a biradari culture into an extremely individualistic environment, like England's, is when an outsider girl is, say, attacked by a man or something like that, and the father doesn't come in and stand up for her and work as a sort of intermediary, they are trash. They are done away with straight away. And this manifests itself in the slur that is very frequently still used in certain parts of Cowley to describe Muslim girls who, say, put on makeup or have their hair hanging out or something like that, or listen to too much Western music. The slur is desi gori, which literally means homemade white woman. And they compare each other to English women in an insulting way. There's even an amazing anecdote in this very almost unintentionally blackpilling book, where a woman that is interviewed by Shaw is asked to describe her opinion of English women, and she takes her shawar, which is her long sort of dressing gown outfit, she tucks it in around her bottom, she poses with her bottom, then she sticks her lips out and sort of does that in order to simulate the way that an English woman attracts a man. Even if, you know, you arrest all of these leaders, you get rid of horrible people like Arshid Hussain, or here it was Muhammad Karat, it's going to come back.
I remember reading, Hindus as well, I remember reading a novel, a novel by a woman called Monica Ali, I think that was her name, and similar things, she was in her novel, that's their attitude, even in the 60s, towards white girls, they're just trash.
This is the very infamous, I think, Bushra Sheikh, is that her name? This woman on Twitter, she appeared on Lotus Eaters once. Someone said, you know, why are working class white girls predominantly the victims of the grooming gangs? And she very egotistically said, you're not ready for that discussion. Clearly the implication is they didn't have anyone to protect them. They're on display all of the time. They're like mangoes, and you can do what you like with to them and get away with it.
Unfortunately, though, are you ready for the future of the West?
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear the full thing, as well as help with my other projects, then please become a subscriber at jollyheretic.com.